if I'm, you know, wearing a Warriors jersey standing behind Fisher Harris, I'm thinking, well, shit, if he thinks we can beat the Panthers, then I think we can beat the Panthers, and I'm going to stick it up them as well.
Maybe we're starting to get to the crux of the issue with them not starting well, because maybe it's the same way he's delivering his messages. It's hard to know without being in the inner sanctum, but certainly not inspiring speeches, shall we say. Today, Steve, we have the latest in Origin, mate. What else are we looking at?
We do. We have a chat about the team list from the Broncos and an interesting selection on the bench.
Yeah, and we'll look at, are the Warriors the most underrated side in the competition? Let's get into it. Origin. Well, the first thing that I saw pop across my feed just now is Mitch Moses didn't train with the side today. The story was always he's got to be training with the team on Wednesday. He did not.
Yeah.
What do we think?
Interesting one, mate. It's they've moved the goalpost. Now I'm hearing reports that he has to be right to run tomorrow. So I'm not sure how long the real world's going to last. But yeah, it's interesting to hear. We heard Casey McLean was also seen with ice, still on that that lower foot ankle injury that he had. He didn't do a lot of training as well. So tomorrow will be interesting. You know, they've always made a point to say that they're going to need a whole, you know, week of running out of Moses to see. But the good news is that we saw what Strange did. He'll already be training with the team at six in the meantime. But I think there could be some big press conferences held out of Blues camp this next 24 hours, mate, about Moses.
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't know if you saw the snippet of footage from the Freddie and the Eighth show where Andrew Johns was unpacking last time they played Origin together, Moses and Cleary. Did you see that?
No, I missed that one, mate.
He showed a clip of them attacking and how in unison they were and on the same page and attacking in the same area, and then they moved it to the other side, and how they got the Queensland defence line all out of whack. They had Munster defending in the middle. They somehow got Tino out defending out wide, and he was just talking about when they had that set up and including it was Edwards in the one in that game, just how good it looked. And mate, he convinced me it looked good. There's plenty to like about New South Wales, given what we talked about on Monday, Queensland not scoring for that final 60 minutes. But I still just have doubts around Laurie Daly's ability to get us up when last year we should have dominated and we just didn't.
Yeah. Well, you've got to put those slow starts down to Daly. Obviously, he's got the prep all week or week and a half to get them ready, all the way up to game time. And it seems the longer the games go, the more impact the players have and the more control they take over the outcome. So, look, Daly needs to get the first 15, 20 minutes smack bang on. You know, there's been question marks over his selection. Again, the starting pack looks a little bit out of whack to me. And then what he's talking about with the bench this morning, there's more talk of being unbalanced. You know, he's saying Strange will definitely get on, and if it's not at six, he'll play 13. Well, for me, I don't understand how we can have Radley, Murray and Strange in the forward pack. And if we do that, that means that they're going to push one of them to an edge, or Murray or Radley aren't going to play as big a minutes. And we saw the impact they had. They were two of our best players through the middle and really changed the game up. So, yeah, I'd love to know his plan going in, because I think he's obviously, we saw he get a little bit lucky in game one with the Kalen Ponga situation. But for mine, I still think there could be some tinkering with the starting pack. And then exactly what he does with the bench rotation will be really interesting. Obviously, Olakau'atu's come all the way out. We were sort of thinking they'd have an edge forward on the bench. So, you know, on those four interchange players, I should say. So we would have an opportunity to rotate if need be. But it looks like he's going to not play at all unless there's a major injury. So the balance of the pack that he has starting currently and then the bench will be really interesting to see what he pulls off, mate, let alone the injuries around Moses and McLean.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, it looks like you're going to play small ball. And to a certain degree, that's what happened in game one. So maybe they do just rotate. Haas is going to play big minutes. Maybe when he rests, Barnett comes back on and we just play those smaller mobile guys through the middle, tired rucks, you add you had Strange in there. I compare it to when we played Craig Wing in that role. I know he's not Craig Wing, but he's certainly dynamic like him. He's certainly going to offer something in terms of speed. Physically in the middle, he's going to hit. So, yeah, I can see that working. But, yeah, it does seem to be a little bit out of balance. I guess what they have done is there's a bench there that covers all scenarios. And I think that's important. Whereas if you look at the Queensland bench, they've brought in Reece Walsh. Now, we talked about it this Monday. On Monday, as scary as that is as a prospect, if they have one of their halves go down, then what?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, mate. And you know, while they do their best with the six interchange players, the impact of having one of those key players go down, we've seen it in the past when poor old Damien Cook was playing in the centres on Origin night, as an example. So there are some key players that are really important, and both teams have done fairly well to cover all aspects. It just gets confusing to me when Daly says some of the things he says. For him to guarantee Ethan Strange should get game time, that means for me, you know, unless there's a major injury, obviously, to take into account, that means Murray, Radley, Fanua Blake or Appy aren't going to get on the field. So I just, again, mate, we'll wait and see how it plays out. There's just, for me, there's just a little bit of uncertainty. Obviously, Dylan Lucas, left side second rower, he's going to move over to the right. He made mention during the day that he's played a fair bit of right growing up through the grades, so hopefully that doesn't disrupt him. But that's another interesting one that that Daly's pulled, that we're going to have two left side second rowers in the one starting pack. So we've just got to see how that pans out, and hopefully he gets it right.
Yeah, to me the thing is like his wishy-washy answers, like it seems like a small thing, but it's a big thing because that level of certainty, because Billy Slater's made similar changes in the past and he's just been so good at just saying, well, this is who we're picking because we think this is going to be the best for Queensland, and it still comes back to something we talked about around game one. It's not, he's not talking about the state, and that's, you look at the contrast between him and Madge. Madge just was so certain about what he's going to say. He's always so certain about what he's going to say. Now, Loz is known for being a really good fella. I've never met the guy, but maybe to a fault, he's just been that nice guy, not wanting to disappoint anyone. Whereas what we need to be seeing is some really direct, certain quotes to fill the state and the team with confidence. And maybe we're starting to get to the crux of the issue with them not starting well, because maybe it's the same way he's delivering his messages. It's hard to know without being in the inner sanctum, but certainly not inspiring speeches, shall we say.
Yeah, correct, mate. Even, you know, I truly hope it's not true, but there's a report I read this morning that Ola Kawatu rocked up to camp not knowing. Yeah, he assumed that he was starting on that right edge for New South Wales again, and it wasn't until he saw the team announcement come out, like all of us supporters, that he realised he was in jersey 20, and unless there was an injury situation, that he's not going to get on the field. He's just a spare player, so to speak. So even just the way they've handled that. So look, for all New South Wales supporters, I hope. We've lived through the last 10 or 15 years of Queensland doing what Queensland does. You think the blowtorch is on Daly now. If Queensland get back to 1-1, it will be an absolute nightmare of a two-week period for Daly heading into Game 3 to decide up here at the Cauldron.
Absolutely. We'll get to Queensland now. We got caught lucky winning that first game the way that we did and all those different things, but that's happened. Queensland have won that way through the whole history of State of Origin, and no one said they were lucky. We might have cried it, but they would have still what Queensland does. So I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that that is a very good win. Yes, there were extenuating circumstances, but you still had to do the job. They're still coming back from a huge deficit, having to overcome obstacles. It's such a refreshing change for us to be able to win that way. So there's got to be something positive about that heading into game two as well. Now one of the things that Billy's been big on is that the sort of standards that he requires when he's picking his team, and he's picked some guys outside of what perhaps people of thought, the media, so-called experts. But he said, because I've been watching, I've watched more football than anyone else, and there's standards I need to meet. Now, surely, at the moment, Reece Walsh can't be meeting those standards, and it seems like he's going away from that plan by picking him on the bench.
Yeah, real interesting one. You know, we touched on it on Monday's episode when word was coming through that Walsh was going to get picked. You know, even as late as this weekend, the performance that he put in against the Titans, I thought he must have been injured or dealing with some off-the-field problems, because he just didn't look like he was present. He didn't look like he was active in the game. And look, he is a player that can absolutely be rocks or diamonds, respectfully. But when the diamonds come out, they are something special. So, look, Ricky Stewart, that was a good one. Billy Slater doesn't get these selections wrong very often, if ever. You know, we've actually gone the other way with Billy Slater, and we've patted him on the back for finding these players that have come out of nowhere. You know, Robert Toya is an example from last year. You know, Cobbo's has had he's on and off times. Billy Slater seems to pick these guys at the right times and in the right positions. So, you know, who knows? It was only, you know, 6 months ago where he was an absolute superstar and won the premiership for the Broncos, went away on the Kangaroo Tour as the number one fullback, which is a big deal at the moment with the outstanding fullbacks we have across the competition. So it won't take much. You know, potentially this is the circuit breaker. This is the little bit of a confidence that Walsh needs. This is the pat on the back that he needs. And if he gets on and can pull it together, then he's one special talent. So it'll be really interesting to see how he plays, Walsh. You know, is it a straight swap and he brings Ponga off? Is he not planning to use Walsh at all unless there is something that occurs like game one? It'll be an interesting one, and one that Daly will need to keep an eye on and be prepared for, because he certainly could come on and have a monster impact in this second game.
Yeah, absolutely. Origin history is full of storylines of guys out of form being picked, particularly for Queensland, and playing out of their skin. Nate Miles is one that comes to mind. He always was enormous for the Queenslanders, even carrying in poor form. The New South Wales media would talk about how bad he was going, then he'd just come out and absolutely brain it, and and we'd all have egg on our faces. As a Para fan, one I notice is Jared Hayne often started the year slow, and then you get picked for Origin, and then suddenly he'd come alive, and the rest of the year he'd be significantly better. So maybe, as you said, this is just a thing to ignite Reece Walsh and take the Broncos on a bit of a run, and maybe you'll have to eat some words too, mate.
I don't know about that, Walsh. He's good. I don't know whether he can be Superman 2 years in a row, but we'll see what happens.
Now, at times, Origin feels like it's all-consuming and takes over the NRL, and you lose sight of it. And I've got to admit, there have been seasons where I have found myself switching off from the NRL in that time, because it feels a bit almost like a false economy with results not really reflecting where things are at. But I haven't felt that as much this year. I don't know about you, but it's kind of like been a good balance. And I don't know if that's because we're only just getting to the much shorter rounds now. But what are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, I guess it's been different teams. You know, I think the Roosters and the Dolphins especially have been affected heavily with Origin. But there's been a lot of teams this year that have only had, you know, one, two players. And obviously, while they're stars, I think the other thing that's happened is, you know, a lot of the supporters have been used to seeing their teams have injuries with the way it's gone this season. There's been a lot more injuries that we'll get Will to speak to about more next episode. So I think, you know, teams are getting used to that. But certainly the Dolphins and the Roosters, who, you know, we'll get to the game later in the episode, play against each other this week. You know, between them having 13 players within the extended squad for game two alone between the two teams is a monster effort. But, you know, when traditionally you look at a Broncos side, they've only got three carrying an injured aside. You know, some of those other clubs are just making do with only losing those one or two. So there hasn't been as big a drop-off, admittedly. So I do think that's a better. In seasons gone by, it has been an absolute slugfest to get through Origin. The first, you know, split round for Origin 1 wasn't tremendous viewing. There were some games in there that were absolute duds. But hopefully this week, with the exception of that big Dolphins Roosters where there's a lot of players out, the teams are fairly good with the exception of one or two players here or there. So hopefully the standard of footy isn't too bad, mate.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where it does get disappointing when you look at some of those matchups and you think, oh, well, it's a pity this is on now. But I guess they've got to put something there, and there's always going to be the case that that is how it goes. Do you think there's any merit in separating it, getting Origin done in one hit?
Look, the problem with Origin is that I would hate to see Origin go three games in 3 weeks. I think that would be unfair on the players to be able to have to back up three of those games in a row. So I think the time it takes to play Origin is about right. The problem with that is if you paused the NRL, it's a long time. And, you know, we think a lot of these decisions that are being made at the moment, the way the game's been officiated, the new interchange rules, all these things are because we need to get eyeballs on the game. And I think if we go for the other sports, you know, this period, with the exception of three Wednesday nights, I think that's a huge leg up. And then, you know, the argument around other rep football, whether it be the Pacific Island nations, obviously the women's game is getting stronger and stronger. That is great, but it doesn't represent six or seven games week in, week out. So, look, it's one of those things. I think you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But for me, I think it's just one of those times where we just got to get through and continue to do it and hope that the integrity of some of the games don't get affected too much. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. How do you see it, mate?
Mate, I think it's just one of those things that we've got to accept, given that we've got this jewel in the crown that rates better than the grand final, that we've just got to accept that's what it is. The AFL can't bring back Origin because the teams just won't buy into it, whereas we've got it, the clubs just accept it's there. The only thing that I'm thinking is if it does come into play is when we do have a true even competition where it's just, we're a 20-team comp and you play everyone once, then maybe it starts to become an issue because we've got a proper even comp. At the moment, the comp's already uneven, so we kind of just wear that. And there's always complaints later in the year that, oh, this team had a soft draw and that team had a tough draw. But what we've noticed is the best team always wins. There's no team scraping into the eight win in the comp because they got a good run through Origin. If anything, it's actually further highlighted teams that have been impressive and how much they've lifted with their second string teams. You think about the baby Broncos going back 20 years when they beat the Tigers down in Campbelltown when no one expected them to. You think about the Panthers players that have stepped up and still won through that period of time. To me, why change it? Like other codes would kill for State of Origin. Let's just accept that that's what it is. It brings in so much money, which allows all the clubs to have more. Why would we change it?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, mate. Where, you know, the first week, this is discussed every single season around this time of the year. But I think, you know, by the time the first week of August hits, no one brings it up again. And to your point, while, you know, the integrity of the comp, the top teams are usually there at the end of the season. You know, whether the top team makes it on grand final day, in people's opinions or not, they're always bloody close. So, I think this will be no different, mate. I think the other thing to look at is a really young club with a young team. I think the Dolphins would be really proud and excited that they've got six. State of Origin representatives, because that just continues to increase the club. It increases their players, and then it lifts the profile about potential signings. You know, you're not paying as much to sign players because they're willing to come and play with rep footballers. So, you know, there's give and take to it. And if you go about it the right way and look at it in a positive, I think they're the clubs that really come out with it looking well, mate.
Yeah, well said. Just one we didn't have part of the rundown, but Israel Folau, the potential deal at the Tigers, or what I read before was perhaps our other clubs are interested. I'd like to hear your thoughts, mate. I just think it's only upside. If you get him on a train and trial, he's been playing Japanese rugby, which is hardly taxing on the body. He retired from the Wallabies or got forced to retire. It's probably, was it after the 2019 World Cup? So we're talking 7 years ago. I don't know where where, like in the NRL, we seem to be more accepting that a whole lot of people have different religious beliefs and different ways of looking at it, and everyone's got different views. Like, let everyone have their own thing and play on, because there's plenty of views that we all disagree with. That's one of the beauties of the game. I just think if you're a club at the top and you're looking for a little bit of a boost, a little bit of an X factor, if he can't crack it, well, he's sitting there in the wings in case someone gets injured. And if you're battling a bit and you're looking for a bit of a spark, well, then it's perfect. I just think you'd be mad not to look at it if you're a club.
Yeah, I think you hit a lot of things on the head there, mate. You'd certainly be looking at it if it was me. I think the big one will be what impact does it have on your team, positive or negatively. The last thing you want to do is bring Israel in, and then all of a sudden the outside backs are all getting questions at press conferences whether they're going to hold their spot. And you don't want that media circus that's going to come with Israel to have that negative impact. But to your point, with the right coach and the right team that can handle that, press and can handle that attention, it could be just that little bit extra that a club needs to get them over the top, even if it isn't on the field. You know, we've seen a lot of players in the back end of their career just add that little bit extra, that little bit of polish away from the field, you know, Monday to Friday, in the locker room, in on the training paddock. So he's obviously still a highly professional athlete who looks after himself at that age to be still doing what he does. So he could have a huge impact on a team. They've just got to manage it the right way as far as that media attention and then what it'll do for where he's going to play. I think they'll be the two things, but I'd certainly be having the question and willing to discuss it with him.
Yeah, well, if there's one club that knows how to deal with adverse media attention, it's the Tigers, so that could be a great fit because they'll just carry on doing what they do. Yeah. Oh, dear. The Bronx. Now, you've called him as gone.
Yeah.
Madge is still sticking strong. He's got Mam on the bench. Is this a statement to say you've cost us a game there? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, mate. I think, you know, doing what he did last week and dropping him back to the bench was certainly a statement to the whole team and probably a little bit of the press as well. It wasn't just about Mam. It was, you know, you aren't, you know, living up to the Broncos standard, and we need to set an expectation here. And then he played well when he come on. You know, he come on due to an injury, and he played well, and then he got subbed back off and come on at the very back end and made that decision on the last tackle. Now, at the end of the day, win or loss shouldn't come down to the last tackle regardless, but that'll be an example that Maguire will be using to Mam around, you know, this isn't a one, you know, one trick pony. This team needs to play together as a team and needs to set the standard together. So he mentioned at the press conference this morning that he was happy with how Ezra's approached the demotion and that he's working hard on a few of his games. And at the end of the day, Duffy, you know, did very well to start the game before he's knocked. So, look, it's an interesting one, but to me, this is just continuing Madge trying to set the level. For them to be missing, Staggs, Haas, Walsh on origin duty and then Carrigan injured, it's still a big... He's one of the most senior players in the side, so it is definitely a major kick up the bum and a storyline for the entire club to be watching.
Hey, it certainly is. And then you think forward to next year, Matt Duffy's going that well. They've got Jonah Pezzett there heading next year, who hasn't set the world on fire this year in his play and also more injuries, which has plagued the first few years of his career. Really interesting times. There was at one point we thought they just had an overabundance of playmakers and nines, and all of a sudden next year maybe that's not the case. So because I noticed Gordy talking about the halves playing like they're just a little bit too old, and you can't disagree with him at the moment.
No, just the way Gordy commentates, a little bit too old as well, mate. But the they all can't fit into next year's squad, right? You know, Duffy, Reynolds, you think Hunt, Mam, to your point, Pezzett, and then obviously Billy Walters, who I think has been a huge loss for them this season. I think genuinely he was one of their best players at the start of the season for 2025. So all of those players aren't going to fit into the squad next year. So they're going to have to make some tough decisions, and this may be the first step. Whether this is a wake-up call to say to Mem, you need to start waking up and being a professional athlete, or you're not going to be here next year, or whether they've already made the decision, it'll be interesting to see. But they're all not going to fit to that 30 next year. So, yeah, there'll be major press attention on this all the way through to the end, especially if, as predicted, they continue to lose games, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Billy Walters, I agree, he was phenomenal last year. He's 32. Now, some might say, well, you know, he's coming towards the back end, but that's young these days, footballers. I mean, Cam Smith is a bit of an aberration, but he played to 39, but there are plenty of them playing much longer than 32, and he certainly didn't look like he'd lost any of that speed when he played last year. Obviously, coming back from an ACL is going to be fairly significant, but, yeah, he'll be massive upside when he gets back on the field for him, for sure. Okay, now, obviously, we've got a great relationship with the Waz fans after we upset them a few weeks back, and then we talked glowingly about them more recently, and they've absolutely got on board, and we got like literally four-figure views on our most recent episode. We talked about the Warriors. So it's a good topic. Are they the most underrated team in the competition? Now, maybe the Waz fans will attack us for that too, because they're going to say, well, we're not underrated, but I still think there'll be plenty of people that will say, well, we've heard this before, we've, you know, been there, done that, and they haven't been able to get across the line. But what do you see is different this time around, Steve?
Mate, I think they've got a little bit more of a hardened edge, and they're a little bit more experienced, mate. You know, we look at James Fisher-Harris as being the alpha male there in that side, and he's just had longer at the club. You know, they copped a few injuries last year that probably set them back a little bit. But I really see that they've just got that little bit more of a harder edge and a little bit more experienced. I think that underrated, you know, tag is probably because they're not based in Australia and, you know, more specific Sydney. I think if they were a Western Sydney club, I think they'd be getting as much press and as much attention as the Panthers and the Roosters, etc. So, well, no, I think that's what it comes down to it. They're really going to miss RTS. While he's getting to the back end of his career, and this was going to be his last year, he is still just that calming influence, so he'll be a big loss. And then obviously Tanner Boyd started the season really well. So we saw Metcalf do it last year, Boyd this year, and then, as fate would have it, Tamari Martin's come on and had two outstanding games since he's there. So while it may on the surface may not look like it's a huge loss going Boyd to Thierry Martin, Boyd did really well. So those two injuries are going to be tough. Looks like Nicol Klokstad has been named on the extended bench, so he could be in line for a recall this week. Tane Tuipiki's been really good and solid at fullback, but I just think they've got a really good team, mate. You want to talk about underrated, I think they have the most underrated coach. I've got absolutely massive, massive raps on the Warriors front office from the CEO down through to the coaching staff. They are just super professional, and again, they don't get the credit they deserve because they're not in Australia, but they're really professional. They very rarely get things wrong, and they just know how to do. You never hear too much crap coming out of Auckland. So for that, I think they're really set up to go on a run. The big thing for the Warriors will be they have to finish in the top two. So yep. Most clubs have got to finish in the top four. I think for the Warriors, with the amount of travel they'll do, if they can stay at home until grand final day they'll get all home semis, look out. They will be a really hard team to beat. You know, the one thing that I really liked, mate, Fisher-Harris gave the Panthers a little bit of shit when they played them. Now, ultimately, they didn't get the chocolates on the day. But that was, I thought, if I'm wearing a Warriors jersey standing behind Fisher-Harris, I'm thinking, well, shit, if he thinks we can beat the Panthers, then I think we can beat the Panthers, and I'm going to stick it up them as well. So I really like that edge about it. So I think they can do it, mate. I don't know whether they will. I still think the Panthers are deserved favourites, but, shit, this Warriors side's looking all the better.
Absolutely. You mentioned that importance of them finishing top two, and I tend to agree, although I think they would be capable of coming here and winning a prelim. Is there anything else you can see that might stop them from winning the comp, apart from perhaps the Panthers?
Yeah, I think, you know, we mentioned those middle forwards in the pre-season preview of the Warriors. If you look at, you know, Fisher Harris, Barnett, and then their 13, Aaron Clark, who is definitely underrated, I think that, along with the way Jackson Fawn's performed this year, is their strength. I think if they lose one of them, it's going to be hard to go up against the Panthers with that forward pack and potentially the Roosters, who will grow an extra leg come semi-final time. So I think they need to stay fit, right? They've lost Tanner Boyd, you know, Tamari Martin's there, Metcalf's in the wings. RTS is more of that, you know, not father figure, but that experienced leader that, okay, we might be able to get around. But I think if they lose Fisher Harris or if they lose, you know, Clark, Ford, Barnett, one of these guys, I think it's going to be very hard for them. But fully fit, that Ford pack, they're going to match it with all of them on the way home, especially if someone flies over to Auckland, mate.
Absolutely. They've got such a good mix of youth and experience there. The other thing that comes to mind is people talk about the Storm and players go there and become much better, and then how many players have gone the other direction and improved, and it's like you could count that in one hand. That's what the Warriors are starting to become. That there are players there who he is getting the absolute best out of. Yep. We talked about the halves already, but it's the Aaron Clarks of the world who has really gone to another level the last couple of years. Those young guys coming through who just look like they've been playing it for 100 games, and some of them have played less than 30 games. He's doing good things. And what I've heard some of the players talk about is that he just gives them so much self-belief, so much certainty. I've just got to go out there. I've just got to go do these things. And sometimes we can overcomplicate sport, but it sounds like he's just keeping it really simple, and they definitely playing for him. So, yeah, massive tick to Andrew Webster.
Yeah, Webster's been huge, mate. You know, you talk about the systems and the confidence he puts in. That halfback role is a perfect example. Tanner Boyd was a bit of a journeyman coming to the Warriors. He hadn't played a lot of first grade. He'd been injured a lot, been to a couple of clubs. All of a sudden, he's leading the Dally M's. This year, Tanner Boyd starts. And again, he was a really good junior footballer. He came through the grades with Fifita here on the Gold Coast, but struggled early doors at the Titans. Didn't really, cement his first grade spot. Goes over there and has a breakout, you know, first half of the season. And now Tamari Martin's come in, who's been in and out of first grade for a number of years, and he's done well straight off the bat. So to your point, mate, the systems must be that clear-cut for them, and they must be that well-drilled that they know they've got to plug and play, and I just got to worry about this bit, and I'll let my mate next to me worry about his bit. So, really impressive, mate, to see how they're going to go about it. They're such a big side, though. Some of those outside backs, they're huge in the centres especially. So they're going to be very hard to beat, mate. So for mine, I don't think they're underrated because I have them very close to Penrith and ahead of the Roosters and the Dolphins. But if anyone does have them underrated, they're going to be in for a shock come the back end of this season for mine.
Oh, 100%. All right, let's get to the previews. Now, we were talking about just before we jumped on that Joy Arrow has been named at jersey number 23, obviously non-playing, and they're wearing a special commemorative jersey. Nice touch from the Bunnies.
Yeah, super professional, mate. Obviously, it's we spoke about a few weeks ago, devastating news for Joy Arrow and his family. I saw him down in Melbourne where this awful...
Big freeze.
Yeah, awful disease has got a fairly large profile. He was down there, and this is a pretty cool thing. So I saw Bennett, who doesn't like to say a hell of a lot, talk at a press conference, so you can tell how much it means to him and what Joy Arrow means to the South club. He's obviously in and around Origin with the Maroons for this camp as well. So it's great to see the rugby league community come around him. So hopefully with whatever Souths do this, they can draw some awareness and hopefully some funds to help fight this disease and try and find some solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the Bronx are going to be without some pretty key figures in Walsh, Haas and Staggs. They got Jordan Rickey back. A lot more stable, the Bunnies. Wait, what do you think? Are the Bronx any chance here?
look, South, you know, we spoke on Monday about it's sort of Latrell or bust, Latrell Mitchell or bust for the Bunnies, and he's obviously still out with that injury. And then they lose Cam Murray to Origin. Campbell Graham is such a big out for mine. He's just that reliable outside back for him. So, look, I don't know whether South, with that side on paper, are going tremendously well themselves. Obviously, a lot's going to rely on Kalei Matangi and Fifita and Ewan Aikins up front in that forward pack to try and hold the Broncos. This is genuinely a toss of a coin. If you really want me to pick someone, I'd probably go with South on the back of the dry arrow emotion. But with these players out from both sides, who knows what we're going to see from the Broncos, mate, after the last couple of weeks. How do you see that going down?
Yeah, I'm the same. The only thing that I sort of cling to is that sometimes when you've got big names in a team and there's so much pressure to perform and you take those guys out, then it forces everyone else to lift. And you look at that lineup for the Bronx, there's still quality right across the park. Like, there's a couple of guys that aren't familiar faces, but the likes of Xavier Willison have been killing it. Like I said, you put Jordan Rickey back in there. You've got a few unsung heroes like Ben Tolte, and then you've got Mam on the bench. So there's still the absolute potential that they click and do something. But you just, I don't think the Bunnies were far away last week. I think they're probably going to be too good. What scares me is the elimination tipping that we're both involved in that starts again this weekend. I had a look through the draw. I'm like, oh man, I'm going out first week. There's no clear cut winners there.
No, there isn't, mate. It gets harder. There's a couple of games down the bottom that aren't too affected by Origin. But if anyone's brave enough to put a lock of the week on the Bunnies Broncos game, you got a bigger set than I do, mate. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. All right. You mentioned this game already, Dolphins Roosters, both of them with a fair few out. This it's one of those games that we talked about before. It's a bit of a shame, but it also gives an opportunity for some of these guys like Trey Fuller to come in and make a difference. Also, looking at that Dolphins back line, it's pretty much business as usual. So there's plenty going on there. And then if you look at their forward pack, Kafusi, Jeremy Marshall-King, Molo, Lemu, Keeley, Knowles, and then they've got Kurt Donoghue, Tom Gilbert, Ray Stone. So it's not an awful team by any stretch.
Yeah, mate. I think if you could have looked into the future on day one of the Dolphins, if they had been in this situation a couple of years down the track with this many Origin players, six Origin players, and still having that kind of team on the park, they would have been doing cartwheels, mate. So it goes to show you how good that they've done to put that squad together, not just a handful of good players. It's a whole squad. Look, same for the Roosters. They're probably not as strong as the Dolphins with who they've got out. They've got some really impressive Origin players out, obviously, that really do a deal on them. But, you know, Connor Watson, Angus Crichton, Sua Wong, they've still got a lot of good players. And then Daly Cherry Evans, right? You know, you mentioned previously how good his kicking game was against Canberra last week. You know, Hugo Savala's starting to get into that 50-odd first-grade games where, you know, players really start to come through. So it's exciting for them. And then there's a few of these guys who are making their debut or could get their debut. You know, Reece Foley going to play in the centres. He was Queensland under-19s player who's got tons of ability. And there's huge raps on Rex Brathingwaite, who'll be in the 17 jersey for the Roosters. It's pretty cool to see that they get a prime-time game in the NRL to have a crack, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I noticed Toby Rodwell creeping onto the reserve bench there too. Big raps on him. Son of
Matt Rodwell.
Matt Rodwell, so he's got good pedigree, but they're talking about him being the future for the Roosters. So, there's still plenty to like about them. I just think for that one that the Dolphins will be too good. But you mentioned one of our regulars, Troy. He sent me a message today calling me out because he said you just washed over the Roosters' very impressive victory in the nation's capital. And I'm going to stick to what I said to him, which is, the stats did end up even at full time, but at half time, it had been all the Roosters in terms of possession. The ball that the Raiders did have, they were either dropping the ball coming out from their own end or bombing tries at the other one. And so the weight of possession was very much in favour of the Roosters, and the scoreline was 22-0 and the game's pretty much over at that point. So yeah. Troy, we can agree to disagree on that one. Mate, what do you think?
I'm a bit higher on the Roosters than you are, mate. The Raiders weren't great, but to pick up a win down at Bruce Stadium in the winter's a good effort, no matter how well the Raiders are going. So I think you're a bit harsh. Mate, one shout-out I wanted to give in the 22 jersey for the Dolphins is Sam Elliott. He's a Norse Devils old boy who's won a few premierships at the Devs. He's 29 now, and he's been around the Q Cup for a long time. And he finally got an NRL jersey, mate, so I really hope he gets on the park. He's a can play in the middle or on an edge. He's pretty hard, old school kind of forward, mate. So I'd love to see Sam Elliott get on the field. But I think either way, mate, I think to your point, the Dolphins will just be too strong. And we'll get to the lock of the week, but I think the Dolphins could favour.
Yeah. That's a good shout. What a great story. I love those stories. The guys have been slogging away. Yeah, that'd be so good for him to get a game. Fantastic. Yeah. Now, we talked about the most underrated side, Warriors versus Sharks. The only question here is which Sharks turn up. Because at halftime last week, it looks like the Dragons are going to upset them. Then they come out in the second half, they have a crack. But they've got a few out too.
They do, mate.
Seems an obvious one, but, yeah, what do you reckon?
Yeah, they do, mate. Obviously, Fanua Blake and Britton Nicara are going to be huge outs for their pack. And then when you consider that Brayley and Nico are still out as well, it's a huge dent, you know. And if you look what the Dragons did to them in the first half last week with respects to my beloved Drags, they're struggling. So, you know, if the Warriors can be anywhere near where they have been playing, even without Fisher Harrison, their two Origin stars, I think they'll be too good for them at home, mate. I think that four pack has still certainly got enough with Jackson Ford, Nakora, Leyburn, Clark, and then that back line has just got size and pace. I think it'll be a really good contest, but I don't think the Sharks are going to have enough in them, mate, for mine.
Yeah, I'm with you. Do I read too much into this that the returner Cam McInnes has seen an uplift in form for the Sharks?
No, I mean, I got a lot out of your talk during the preseason, mate, around, you know, those players that lead the team that don't necessarily need to be the superstar. They've just got the heartbeat of the side. And I think that's Cam McInnes for the Sharks. You know, I was shattered when he left the Dragons. He's one of those players that he's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, he's not even the best player. But shit, he's one that you want to play with. And I reckon Cam McInnes is that for the Sharks. I think he's that, you know, that leader, that heartbeat. So he'll be strong for them, no question. And I think a fully fit Sharks side with Origin players back, I still think they've got a bit of footy in them. I think they're going to be a game or two short of the grand final. But, Cam McInnes is a really important cog to the Sharks for mine.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're all in agreement here. The Warriors should be too good in that one.
Yeah.
Right, next game. Two teams that aren't missing a heap through Origin, but the Raiders do have a few out. Mind you, they still have a list that should be too strong for what is effectively a fairly ordinary list, the Eels. What do you reckon?
Yeah, my notes on the Eels that they continue to shuffle key positions through form and injury, and that couldn't be more appropriate for the poor old Eels. You have gone to great lengths and anguish to explain that you don't understand how they're spending their whole salary cap. And unfortunately, you look across that team list and you see why. You know, so not missing Origin players, the Strange and Young will be big outs for the Raiders. But they haven't been playing tremendous footy either, right? So I think, you know, Canberra at their best will certainly have too much for the Panthers, for Para. But, you know, of late, Raiders have been sort of average at best, to be respectful. So Raiders are going to have to find something, but if they do, I think they'll have too much in the tank for the poor old Eels.
You would think so. What's been concerning for the Raiders is the some of the defensive lapses. There was a miss by Xavier Savage out wide when the Roosters went back-to-back tries, which was just awful. And then he came and had a second crack at him and actually knocked Horsburgh out of the way and made sure Savala scored at the other end. And that's very uncharacteristic for Raiders teams. And there's been a few weeks where we've had moments like that where they've just had bad misses in defence, and that's not something that we associate with Ricky Stewart coach teams, and particularly what we saw from the Raiders last year. So there's a bit of hope there. I really like the form of Owen Paddy. He definitely makes a difference when he comes on. We talked about what they would do, what the plethora of number nines they had down there, but it seems to be working its way out. They had injury at the start of the year to... name escapes me. It started.
Yeah, Brayley.
No. Brayley's like playing in the 13. I can't remember.
Starling.
Starling's there. Anyway, we move on. But they seem to have a good balance there now. Starling starting at 9, Brayley at the 13, and Owen Paddy coming off the bench. Yeah. For the long-suffering Eels fans, they probably aren't even watching NRL podcasts anymore. But. It has been good to see some of these young guys really start to show a bit. Jordan Samrani in particular in the centres looks like he's a keeper. Talon De Silva, despite the fact that he's still got some discipline errors, the kid's played less than 21st grade games, and he's showing some really mature touches, and he's having a real crack in defence, even though he did give away that high tackle that cost him the game-deciding penalty. And Katoni Katonga was enormous with the ball on Monday. So there's some good signs there for young blokes. Oh, and the young fella come off the bench, Tekan Brown. He looks like a real prospect. He was busting through the line and making good yards for a bloke on debut. Some good signs there with a kid who's a Parramatta junior, and his mum talked about when they were handing out the jersey, his mum talked about just how loyal he is to this team and how he bleeds blue and gold. So hopefully he sticks around for the long term as well.
Yeah, cool. We saw, if anyone hasn't jumped onto Canberra socials, I hope I pronounce his name right, but number 15, Vuna Pakikase, is a big front rower, only 21. And Ricky Stewart got all the big rigs. So Josh Papali, Corey Horsburgh, and Captain Joseph Tappany, and they presented or informed him that he was going to make his debut. Big front rower, only 21, but whopping 194 centimetres of him. It's a pretty cool moment to see all the big dogs in one room, you know, presenting the young buck with the news that he was going to play first grade. So I thought that was a pretty cool experience. So being named in 15, you'd be surprised if you didn't get a run. So hopefully he does himself proud, mate, and enjoys the big occasion.
Yeah, love it. Always good stories. I think any of us who've played any sport and supported it for a long time, yeah, there's plenty to love about those videos that are doing the rounds now. Now, we talked about the Tigers, and we talked about how this season has taken a bit of a slide. You've got to expect the bounce-back factor, though. I think they should probably win this one well because they can't be that bad again, surely. Surely
not, mate. It's a big one. Obviously, Appy being out, Latu Fainu will come into the nine jersey. You know, we saw, you know, not the wheels coming off the Tigers, but not having Appy and after the Jerome PNG signing, the Tigers just went sideways, both performance-wise and literally out in the field with their game plan. So hopefully Appy gone, we won't see that again. You know, Twal and Dewey are still massive outs for them, but absolutely unbelievably Taylor Mays back in the centres. So for some frustrated super coach players, me being one of them who had him inside and then lost him to injury, to see him back from a miracle injury is something I wasn't expecting. But yeah, they've got to find a way to win these games. With Appy out, Twal and Dewey isn't going to be easy. But this is a really important one. If they don't win this one against the Titans, questions get asked, well, is this another season that the Tigers missed the eight? Because these are 2 points that, with respect to the Broncos last week, almost every other team gets. So if the Tigers don't get it, they're giving 2 points to everyone else in the competition.
Yeah, fair call. You'd expect them to be too good. What do you think on the Tigers also floating the idea of the other Finau brother, Manasi, getting a start once he's out of jail? I'm a big believer in second chances. Whether there needs to be some more time to pass once he gets out and does a bit of rehab before he's considered for the NRL, it's probably someone at a higher pay grade than me to decide. But I'd love your thoughts on that, mate.
Yeah, look, I can't talk too much on the history. I'm not across it enough, to be honest with you, mate. But, you know, pending all that, if he's done his time, so to speak, and he's on the right track, and he's going to do the right thing by the league, by his family, then, to your point, everyone deserves a second chance. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, we could make a joke about the Tigers are recruiting from jail and 37-year-old rugby union players, but at the end of the day, if they're the best players you can get your hands on, then why not, mate?
Yeah. There's been a couple of really good feel-good stories in similar situations. Russell Packer is one that comes to mind. Not only did he turn his life around and he talked about just how important rugby league was in that journey, but the work that he's done in the community since then and giving back in such a positive way, if they can, if Manasi can demonstrate that's another possibility. Important one for Para, Manu Mau, another one that had ended up in jail after getting into some gang related stuff, and then comes back and model citizen, and again giving back to his community. I think it's too simple just to rule it straight out. But yeah, maybe it's worth looking at a more of a long term view, and what good can come out of that. The other pretty cool story this week, despite the fact that there was some of it that was pretty painful to watch, listening to Kane Evans talk about his experience, but the courage for him to show to come out and really be the second openly gay player in 30-something years, 32 years since Ian Roberts came out. It says a lot about how far he's come. And I heard Paul Kent talking yesterday saying, like, this could be a real positive and could have a bigger impact, because I think the world is now more ready than ever to look at this a lot differently. Yeah, mate, like, massive courage for the guy to come out, but he obviously felt it was important for him to share his message to the world.
Yeah, mate, one hell of a story when you hear about it now over what's happened since he's retired, and then what he must have been living with during his playing days. For him to have had to go through that, and you saw the impact, basically living on the streets with alcohol and drugs, etc., just to try and numb the pain and get through it all. So such a sad story to hear that someone's had to go through that. Joe Nullivale from the Panthers premiership side tracked him down and got him into rehab and has tried to help him. What he said about the Roosters shouldn't surprise anyone. The support they've given him was unbelievable. Hopefully, you know, he can find a little bit of peace and a little bit of support, because no one should have to go through that. Doesn't matter what they do for a profession and how high a profile they are. You know, they deserve to be able to live their life how they want to live. And to your point, mate, hopefully if there are others out there that they feel a little bit more confident and feel a little bit more support with what's happened. So, yeah, it'd be a shame to hear in another 20 years' time that this is still happening and players are afraid to talk and be open and honest. All the good wishes to him, mate, and hopefully he can start living a bit more of a happy and contented life, mate, of his own skin.
Yeah, well said, mate. And I think it's one of the great parts of rugby league is that we rally around people. And yeah, Joe Nullarbor apparently is doing some incredible things in the wellbeing space for the NRL. And then to hear that the Roosters just said, look, you know, once a rooster, always a rooster. We're going to pay a lot of your bills, any rehab you need. And then Trent Robertson paying his first month of rent out of his own pocket. Yeah, mate. How good's rugby league? And it's good that we get a chance to celebrate feel-good stories when so often we're hearing about the shit stuff that goes on. So, yeah, well played, everyone involved. Yep. Mate, next week it will be 2 days from Origin. We'll be wrapping up the short round of games that we've had, and we'll be talking with a bit of excitement, I reckon, of the possibility of the Blues wrapping it up in two.
Yeah, can't wait, mate. Hopefully we get some good games of footy with the Origin players out, and then all systems go for State of Origin 2. Can the Blues lock it up and clinch the series, or will there be a decider up here at Suncorp?